Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, welcome. It's great to be here with everybody today. How are you this morning? Good? I love hearing you worship backstage. I always get to enjoy that whenever I have the opportunity to speak. For those of you who don't know me, my name is April Colquitt. I'm the Wellspring Kids Director here, and I also serve on our communications team. And so I have truly, truly been looking forward to being here with you this morning. And we are in the middle of a series called Resolved, as you already heard our team say this morning. And so if it's your first time joining us in the room or your first time watching online, or maybe you've missed the last couple of weeks, I want to take just a couple of seconds and catch you up on what we're learning, because I'm going to be picking up today where our pastor Trey left off last week. And if you've missed any of the previous content, you can always go to our Wellspring app and catch up as always and learn a little bit more. But in this series, Resolved, we're calling it Resolved because some of the challenges and the things that we faced in 2020 are still hanging around. I don't know about you, but I was hoping by now that we'd be saying masks were so last year. But here we all are, still wearing masks. And so because of that, we think that we need more than just a list of goals this year to start the new year out. We need more than just some new habits that we want to adopt or some old habits that we want to get rid of. What we really need, if we want to keep going in 2021, is we need resolve. We need to make up our minds, because resolve is a mindset. Resolve is a determination that something will happen, something will change. And so Trey started this series by challenging us to see that the mindset we should all have this year is to be resilient. We need resilience. If we're going to keep going and moving forward with our life in spite of everything that's happened, then we need to withstand adversity, to bounce back, and to grow through everything that's happened and in spite of everything that's happened, that we will be strong and that we will keep growing. And see, I think that we're not okay with just sitting and waiting for things to improve. We're really not content to be complacent with the way things are. What we really want is to be stronger. We don't just want to survive in 2021. We want to thrive. I think about the Swiss Family Robinson. Did you guys ever watch that movie or read the book Swiss Family Robinson? There was this aristocratic family that crashed. They shipwrecked onto an island. And they were resilient. They resolved to make it there. They didn't just survive. They adapted and they learned new things and they became resourceful. And because of their resilience, they thrived even though they'd been shipwrecked. We need to be like the Swiss Family Robinson in 2021. In spite of the shipwreck that's happened, let's keep moving forward. And so we've identified some gifts that we believe help us to grow resilience. And we've been talking about those. And the reason that we call them gifts is because we don't have to do anything to earn them. They are readily available to us through our gracious Heavenly Father. And the very first gift that we learned about in week one is our security. Our security is the gift of knowing that we can trust Jesus and build our lives on Him. That we can be rooted in God to have a firm foundation as we keep going. And then last week, we learned about identity. We learned that our identity is not found in our successes or our failures, and it doesn't lie with our position at work or who we are in our family or any of those things. That our identity is in God, because He is our creator and He has a plan for our good. And so Trey gave us two statements to help us remember our identity. And he said, "I am defined by God, designed for good." If you were here last week, I hope you remembered that this week. As you started to wonder who you are, that knowing I am defined by God, I am designed for good, gave you some resilience this week. And knowing who we are, knowing that we are defined by God, designed for good things that He planned for us long ago, is important to helping us answer the question that we're going to talk about today. Where do I belong? At some point in our life, we will all wonder, where do I belong? Where is my place? Where do I feel the most known, the most accepted? you probably have a time that you can remember feeling like an outsider or going somewhere that you didn't belong. Maybe as a kid you moved to a new school and you just didn't feel like you belonged there. You've started a new job recently and you've had trouble finding your place and fitting in your new work environment. Maybe somebody's invited you to a party at some point and you walked in and you thought, I don't belong here. Not anymore. These are not my people. Sometimes we will all feel like we are not sure where we belong. I grew up in Alabama, and when I graduated from high school, I had the opportunity to go be a part of a program where I could go help other churches with their kids stuff for the summer, like Vacation Bible School and kids camps and things like that. And it was a great program. And because I grew up in Alabama, I thought I would probably be placed somewhere in the Southeast, like Florida or Mississippi, maybe Tennessee or Georgia. But instead, they sent me to Ohio. And this was the first time I'd really ever been outside the bubble that I call home, that I knew well and where I felt I belonged. I'd been on vacations with my family and trips with my youth group and been places with friends, but I went to Ohio completely by myself. I was on my own, 18 years old, plucked out of Alabama and sat down in Northeast Ohio. Now, I don't have to tell you that the second I opened my mouth, everybody knew I didn't belong in Ohio. How many of you are from Ohio? I know, I'm sure there are a few in here. There's a couple. So in Ohio, I said things like y'all and fixin' to, and people looked at me like, what is she saying? Come on, kids, y'all, we're fixin' to sit down and hear a story. They would look at each other like, what are we fixin'? What are we about to do? They didn't understand half of what I was saying, and I was used to different surroundings, and these churches were doing things different ways than what I grew up doing, and so I had to sort of learn and adapt, and it didn't feel like my place at all. And even though I had a great time, and I had great people that I got to meet and work alongside, I could not wait to go home at the end of that 8 weeks to where I belonged, where people understood what I was saying and didn't make fun of me anymore, and where I could get a glass of sweet tea, because you can't get that in Ohio either. You probably have some similar stories, and there's a time when you maybe can think of that you knew you were an outsider and you didn't belong, and you just wanted to be known, wanted to be accepted for who you are. So for the next few minutes, I want you to think about how you would answer this question. Where do I belong? Because if we don't know where we belong, we tend to feel incomplete and lost and maybe a little bit insecure. And it's hard for us to be resilient if we don't know where we belong. Because we are all in need of connection. We all need to feel some place of belonging. Maybe you've even experienced that for yourself this year. If you spend a lot of time by yourself in quarantine and had to go days or a couple of weeks without seeing people, you probably realized how hard it is to be alone for too long. And God has been telling us from the very beginning that we need others. We need connection and we need belonging. In the very beginning, God made the world. He looked at everything that he'd made and he said, "It is good." And when he made Adam, when he made man, he said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Everything he made was good. And Adam was good. He was pleased with the way he'd made man, but he said, "It's not good for him to be alone." Aloneness is not good for us. And so our desire and our need to find belonging and connection is God-given. But sometimes that need to fit in and that need for belonging is seen as a negative thing. Sometimes it's even viewed by some people as a weakness, but it's actually not wrong to want to belong. It's where we look for belonging that we often go wrong. We naturally look for belonging in other people. We think, if I look like them, if I act like them, if I think like them, maybe they will accept me as one of them. And it works for a little while. It works, and we find our place, and maybe we find some people who we feel like we fit in with, and we get our group, our people, but that kind of belonging doesn't last. If you went to high school and you were a part of a team like baseball or football, that team maybe gave you belonging for a little while, but they don't go to college with you. or a relationship, a boyfriend or a girlfriend where you found belonging, that belonging dissolves when the relationship ends. I think most of us naturally look for belonging first with our family, but even family relationships can be strained and they can shatter and leave us feeling misplaced. So we're right back to asking, where do I belong now? When the place where we once found belonging no longer exists, we're still wondering, where do I belong? Where is my place? Who will accept me? We all have a need to know where we are, where we belong. And if we're going to be people who are resilient, then we must find belonging first in a relationship that can never be broken. That's the kind of relationship that can give us belonging. And so the third gift of growing resilience is belonging. We have to find belonging in a place that will never change, that will never end, no matter what the variables are. And that kind of belonging can only be found in Jesus. If our security and our identity is in him, then it only makes sense that our belonging would be with him too. He understands us. The amazing thing about Jesus' time on earth is that he was completely God and also completely human. So he identifies with all of our human needs and emotions. And therefore, Jesus understands our need for belonging. We hear so many stories about Jesus and the way that he loved people and the way that he helped people and redeemed people that we don't always think about the times that Jesus was rejected by people. But he was. From the very moment he arrived on earth, he was hated and rejected. Mary and Joseph had to take Jesus to Egypt and escape there to hide him so that he wouldn't be killed as a baby. And as he grew up and became a man and began his ministry, he was still the outsider. Jesus believed differently and taught differently and behaved differently than every other religious and spiritual leader. So he knows what it is to be the outsider. In the Gospel of John, one of Jesus' closest friends and disciples tells us about how Jesus was rejected. He said, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus came into the world that he created, and he didn't fit in here. That's why he understands our need for belonging. He's been there. He knows what it is to feel alone. He knows what it is not to fit in. He knows what it is to feel like the outsider. And Jesus knows how it feels to love and not be loved in return. But even though Jesus was rejected, God didn't change his plans to give us belonging. He chose to give us belonging. If we're going to understand the gift of belonging that gives us resilience, then we have to understand some other things first. And so today, I want to give you two more I am statements to help us learn about the belonging that grows resilience. The first one is, I am chosen to belong. Not I was at one time, not I will be one day, but I am right now chosen to belong with God. He has chosen you. But we have a hard time understanding this concept because in our world, in every other context we know about being chosen to do something, or every place that we know where we can belong, we have to do something first to belong there. We have to pay a membership fee, or you have to possess a certain set of skills and talents in order to be chosen. You have to interview for the job to be chosen for the job. You have to agree to a certain set of standards that you'll follow to be chosen for certain things or to be picked or to belong. But when it comes to God, we don't have to do anything. There are no prerequisites to being chosen to belong with God. It just is. The only thing that could keep us from belonging with God is sin. But he's already handled that part too. When Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for us, he paid the price for our sin. So the debt has been paid. Just as if someone paid your lifetime membership to Costco or Amazon Prime, the debt's paid, it's handled, it's done. So belonging with God is a completely free gift. We don't have to do anything. And I love the way that Paul explains this in his letter to the Ephesians. And so I want to look at Ephesians with you today. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible, especially when it comes to understanding our security and our identity and our belonging in God. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there or follow along in YouVersion, and you can follow along up here with me. We're going to be in Ephesians 1 and 2. Paul starts by explaining to us that we are chosen. He says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." He, in this sentence, refers to God. He chose us. Long before the world ever even started, before we knew about him, before we ever even came to be, God chose us. Why would he do that? Paul tells us, because in love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He chose you because he loves you, and he planned from the very beginning to give you a place in his family. This always makes me think about recess as a kid. When you were a kid, when you went to recess or when you went to PE, the teacher would often choose two people to be the team captains, right? And the rest of the class would line up, and then the team captains would take turns choosing who they wanted to be on their team. I used to hate that because I was the littlest one, and I wasn't very athletic or coordinated, and everybody knew it. And so I was usually one of the last people to get picked. I hated it. Sometimes people would be choosing their teams before we ever even went to recess. It was like day not even half over, and they were already picking who they wanted to be on their team. Paul's basically saying, God chose you for his team before it was ever even time to line up for recess. He knew he wanted you. He said, I'm picking you, I'm picking you, I'm picking you. I choose you for my team. And it's not because he felt like he had to or because he felt sorry for you. He chose you because he loved you. And I want to point out, too, that Paul uses this phrasing. I love it. He says, adoption to sonship. He said, you are predestined for adoption to sonship. If you ever wondered what your destiny was, this is it. Your destiny is to belong in God's family. And adoption means that the guardian assumes permanent legal responsibility for the other person. So to think that God assumed permanent legal responsibility for me, is pretty overwhelming. It's pretty humbling because I am a mess. I am a mess. I am ornery and cantankerous and hard to deal with most of the time. Ask my husband, ask my kids. They'll probably tell you. I am not easy to deal with. But the thing is, neither are you. None of us are. And as Paul goes into the second chapter of his letter, he starts to tell us this and remind us of some of the ways that we are selfish and disobedient. We're basically the problem child. But even then, knowing that from the very beginning, it didn't change how God felt about us, and it didn't change his plan for us. Paul writes, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, even when he knew that we were imperfect, even when he knew that we were covered in mud, that we were up to our necks in sin, even when he knew we were the scrawniest one and we weren't athletic and we weren't coordinated, he chose us for his team because he loved us and he desperately wanted to give us a place of belonging in his family, adoption to sonship. And Paul tells us this not because of anything that we did. He says, it is by grace you have been saved. You are chosen because of God's grace and love for you. And Paul makes this point so important. This is so important for us to get that he says it again a few verses later. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's almost like Paul knew what difficult people we are and how hard this would be for us to get and wrap our brains around because of the conditional world that we live in. And so I think he has two motives for telling us this. He's talking to two different kinds of thought and two different kinds of people. One is to say, be careful. be careful lest you think you've done anything to be chosen. Be careful lest you think you deserve it more than someone else. It's not because you have a more higher moral standard than someone else. It's not because you never cheated. It's not because you go to church more than your neighbor or because you're more generous than someone else. It is by grace that you have been saved. I can't say I deserve it more than you, and you can't say you deserve it more than me. It's by grace. And I think Paul also tells us this and makes this point important to say, don't worry. Because some of us struggle to think that we'll ever measure up, that nothing we ever do will be enough, that we're just never going to be worthy enough of God's love. And so we struggle to accept the grace that God gives us. We struggle to accept what Jesus has done for us. And Paul says, don't worry. It is by grace you've been saved. There's nothing that we can do to add to it, and there's nothing that we can do to subtract from what Jesus did and from God's choosing to belong us for us to belong. What we can do, however, is choose to accept his invitation to belong. If we're going to understand the belonging that God offers us, the free gift of belonging, we understand I am chosen to belong, but I am also invited to believe. This, for me, this is how I know God's love is real love. He is the God of the universe. He tells the moon and the stars and the planets what to do. He could make us do whatever he wants us to do, but he doesn't enslave us to belong. He invites us to belong by believing. That's real love. Real love gives us a choice. He's chosen us, but we can choose him back. God wants to be chosen back. I want to go back to John's gospel really quickly. He says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We have a choice. God chose to give us belonging, and we can choose to accept that belonging by believing in him. And it's the act of believing in him that seals our adoption to sonship. It's when we choose him back that we become his children. I don't know about you, but that motivates me to raise my hands, to worship God, to say, thank you for choosing me. I choose you back, God. And some of you here today have already chosen to belong in God's family. You have accepted the invitation, but you needed to hear this today because something has happened that has hurt you and you have felt forgotten and you have felt let down. But that is why we must find belonging in a relationship with Jesus if we are going to be resilient. Because people are conditional. Our world is conditional. Our culture is conditional and transactional. But there are no variables with God. He has chosen you in spite of what he knew about you. He has chosen you to belong. And nothing we ever do can break our belonging with God. You will have doubts and you will wonder from time to time. And you will change, but God will never change. Our circumstances will change. God will never change. Nothing will change his mind about giving us a place to belong. And that gives us resilience because we always know where to go. We always know where we're known and where we're accepted exactly the way that we are. And we need to be reminded of that so that we can keep going, so that we can stay motivated to keep following hard after God. There's a song I love called Known, and it's by an artist named Tarn Wells, and he talks about how it is hard truth and ridiculous grace to be fully known and yet loved by you. It's a hard truth for us to understand and for us to get and to wrap our brains around that concept that we don't have to measure up. It's not by us. It's by grace that we are fully known and still loved by our Creator. And some of you here today have not made the decision yet. You've not taken a step to believe in God and to belong to His family yet, but you've been listening and learning, and you might be ready to believe. It is the best invitation you will ever accept. And it's very simple to do. You don't even need postage for this RSVP. You simply say, God, I believe in you. I believe in you, and I accept your invitation to belong. I trust you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. So if that's a decision that you're ready to make today, we have some people here who would love to help you. They will even pray with you. You can find them in our blue room after the service. They would love to meet with you and help you take that step. Others of you may not be sure. You're still not sure, but I want to tell you about a benefit of belonging to God. Belonging to God gives us resilience, but another thing that gives us resilience in our belonging is the family of believers. We are a part of a bigger family here, where we support one another and pray for one another and we worship together and we help each other when times get hard and we celebrate with one another when times are good. So belonging to a family of faith, a community of faith like this, is a part of us growing in resilience because we need each other to remind one another, hey, you're defined by God, you're designed for good. You are chosen to belong and you're invited to believe. We forget stuff sometimes. And we need each other. We're not meant to be alone. And because we know that belonging is a core need of every person, we've made it a core value of our church. So even if you don't belong to God's family yet, if you're not sure you believe all those things, we invite you to belong before you believe. We invite you to be a part of us, to join a group, to be in a Bible study. We even have serving teams that you can be a part of. We want you to come and be a part of what we're doing because we hope that by belonging with us into this community of faith, you will come to believe in the amazing love of Jesus, that you will discover for yourself that better is possible because of Him. Belonging to a family of faith is a critical part of our resilience. And so if you're just coming in the door and joining us in person or you're just watching online, that's awesome. And we love that you're doing that. But I want to encourage you to take a next step because you may be missing out on something good that God has for you by belonging to a community of other believers. Maybe your next step today is just to introduce yourself to someone after church. Just say, I've been coming here for a while. I'd love to introduce myself to you. Maybe your next step to belonging to this community of faith is fill out the connection card. Or maybe you want to invest a little bit more. You'd like to sign up to serve or to be in a community group, to be in a Bible study, or all of those things are about to kick off here. We would love to know you so that we can come alongside you and encourage you personally. So that when adversity comes in your life, we know how to help you. And that's what we're called to do as God's family. As brothers and sisters in Christ. However you identify today, whether you've chosen to belong or you haven't yet or you're just not sure, I hope that you will leave here today remembering these two things. I am chosen to belong. I am invited to believe. You are chosen to belong with God, not to Him, with Him. It is a mutual choosing that God wants. And I hope that knowing you are chosen to belong helps you to move forward in confidence and assurance in 2021 and beyond because you know where you belong. Let's pray. God, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for choosing us for your team, for your family from the very beginning, long before we ever even knew about you. Thank you for your grace that looks past our shortcomings and our failures. Thank you for your grace that looks past the things that we think are awesome about ourselves. God, you're just good. And we just want to let you know today that we accept your grace. And we thank you that we have a place to belong, regardless of whatever else happens. God, I pray that every person in this room would know the assurance that comes through belonging to your family, adopted into your family. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.